The sudden uprooting of families that began on February 24th, which marked the invasion of Ukraine by Russian forces, has left people, and especially children, subject to long-term stress and at risk of deteriorating mental health under the sudden change in their circumstances and the disruption of their routine. To address these challenges, Good Neighbours UK has partnered with UNICEF to embed and expand their psychosocial support programme at Blue Dot Centres set up at key Romanian border points, where Ukrainian children and their families are most likely to require this first aid intervention. UNICEF has recognised Good Neighbours' decades-long expertise in child protection and delivering psychosocial support to children and their carers in times of need. I spoke to Kirsten Antonsic, our UKCP consultant child psychotherapist, who went to Romania to train and work with local professionals specialised in child protection and support. Here are her insights.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's crack on then. So you're happy to just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, how you end up working with GNUK as well, and we'll go on from there.
Fantastic. So my name is Kirsten Antonsic and I am a UKCP consultant child psychotherapist. So I've been working in child mental health for a long time, really, in different roles, but formally trained in 2009. I'm a fellow of the Royal Society for the work around advocacy for mental health. And around, I think probably the beginning of May, I was approached by Good Neighbours, some information about the project, that they were looking for somebody, and I think we felt that we were a good fit for each other, and I was really fortunate enough to work with them and to go out to Ukraine.
Brilliant. So it was definitely Suceava, wasn't it? And you were there, I think, from the 21st of May?
It was maybe a little bit shorter than a week, but yeah, we were there for a few days working with the professionals in that area.
And what was your experience like? So from the point where, if you don't mind taking us through, from the point where you arrived at the border point, and just give us an insight into your experience and how it was and kind of the who you trained. I guess just for us to kind of get a sense of what the situation is like on the ground. Because I think a lot of people, you see what's happening in the news, you kind of read articles on it, but you don't get a sense of quite what things are like there for people, but also for aid workers, for the volunteers, for the professionals who are on the ground. And I think this is what the thing as well with NGOs, when we tell people, you know, we're doing work on the ground, I'm not sure everybody quite understands what that entails. So take us through your experience for the whole couple of days where you've been there. So
no problem. So initially, what we were tasked to do was to look at the psychosocial program that Good Neighbours have, of which there are three components. So creation of child-friendly spaces, both on the border and within areas of refugee concentration. So short-term transit camps or longer-term refugee placements. And then we were also looking at the CBT program that they have, Listen to My Story, and then the mind-body work, mind story as the third component. And so our first job whilst we were in the UK was to get to really understand Good Neighbours' approach to ensure that we understood the sort of theoretical underpinning and the evidence base, because it's got a significant evidence base behind it, to then be able to go out and work with psychologists along the border. So you had psychologists from Galați, from Suceava, from lots of different Romanian establishments, but that were very close to the border and were seeing large areas of refugee populations. And we had some incredible members of psychology faculties join us. It was really humbling. We had professors, just a really high caliber of people wanting to come and help. And I think what they were saying was, it's wrong to say that the UK is more advanced in mental health. It isn't. It's just different because of the sort of cultural differences, because of the different way that things have developed. They know some things, we know some things. And I think there was a skill sharing task to be done, really, to think about what do we know in the field about trauma at the moment that would be applicable to this situation, and how do we kind of add to the programme, what's needed, what do we need to think about. So we delivered the programme in Suchava to these wonderful psychologists, psychotherapists. So they will then go away and roll this out to volunteers. They will train the volunteers so that you end up with an army of skill available in the areas of need, so that we can hit refugee populations with what we know helps prevent long-lasting trauma symptoms. And so that was the first task. Second was to go to Siret, so really on the borders, visiting refugee camps. We met families, we met children, we looked at how they were impacted psychologically, and then we were thinking about whether we needed to adapt the program or build in any additional information. So for example, quite a normal facet of trauma is that young people stop speaking, so we met a lot of young people that had stopped speaking. We met the majority of young people who were separated from their father. And so there was, as there usually is with trauma, such a significant component of loss. And we were then thinking about how we might work with an area of psychological detachment. It's difficult when you're working with trauma, you can't do any direct intervention really, because you can re-traumatize. So we were thinking, what do we know about this situation? What length of time are people staying? And what could we maybe think of to bring in additionally to support?
So my understanding is that some refugees at the moment there are different types of people who are transiting immediately through the border point to get to Bucharest and on their way to other countries where they have friends and families, and other people will be stopping at border points to figure out the next best way forward, and other people will get to the border, but then some of them will actually return home, from my understanding. And also my other question is, I understand that there's the psychosocial support kits that a good neighbor provides. Those first aid intervention kit type of support, they aren't, you know, they're not replacing the work of a professional psychotherapist in the long term. In your opinion, did you find they were designed properly for that sort of first aid intervention? Because you also said, you know, some kids are not talking, and I guess it's a bit of a tricky situation. How do you help people who are constantly in transit, who you might see once and then they move away? The benefit of the kids is that carers and their children can take them with them. It's also because they've been translated in Ukrainian as well, so now people can obviously access these kids in their native language. How do you tread that field where you provide that first aid intervention, but also going to be cut short because people are constantly mobile in transit?
I think one of the most important things that you've got is the skill set of the parent and the attachment bond between parent and child. So many of these children have lost or are separated from a male parent, and so strengthening the attunement and understanding between mother and child becomes even more important. And there are different kind of cultural views on mental health, so part of the remit for us was to maybe share things that we know have a scientific base around how to supportively listen to a child. So there's a really quick leaflet that was an addition that we supported with that went in about making time, confidentiality. The workbook, Listen to My Story, that goes in those portable kits is very, very theoretically underpinned. What can sometimes be thought of as helpful in trauma situations actually isn't. I think because we've got that phrase, it's good to talk, trauma is probably one of the only times when that actually isn't necessarily correct. Talking about the trauma can be quite re-traumatizing. Mm-hmm. And so what those kits do, the first thing is they normalize children's responses to trauma. And that's probably one of the most important things. No matter whether you've stopped speaking, you're hiding under tables, you've regressed developmentally, all of this is normal and all of this will pass. There's no need to panic as a parent. That's very, very important. And then what the book does is it builds on the child's understanding of their strength set. So it starts to help the child understand their own unique positive skills. And it also helps the child name feelings. It doesn't ask them to tell their story. It doesn't ask them to go into any of the details of the trauma, in recognition that that can be quite detrimental. What it does is it provides a safe scaffolding. So it helps children name their emotions. It helps children learn self-regulation or down-regulating skills so that they can down-regulate that nervous system that goes into hyperarousal with trauma. And it does it in a child-friendly, appropriate way, which is obviously makes it really accessible.
That is fantastic to know that these kits are so useful for children and their carers as well, and that people are able to take them with them and sort of work through those in their own time. I think at the moment, Good Neighbours is they've signed a partnership with UNICEF as well to expand psychosocial kit provision to over 4,000 children and their carers. So the programme is growing. And I think UNICEF recognised the quality of delivery and also the fact that Good Neighbours has had decades of expertise in delivering psychosocial support to kids and their carers in humanitarian contexts. But how do you see the situation moving forward? Because you've had a lot of local professionals coming to the border in Romania. You've worked with them and training, then further training other volunteers to provide the necessary first aid intervention to help children and their carers deal with their experiences. But how do you see the situation moving forward in the future?
Goodness me. I suppose I would think of it in waves. You can't work with trauma until you're safe. And so with the situation in Ukraine and the movement of populations, I think those psychosocial kits, and they're our best attempt to get in and do some stabilizing work, some normalizing work before safety is achieved. And then you have the mental health provisions come in and you have all of the trauma therapies. So I suppose my sense is, I guess if I was thinking of it, I would be thinking of it in waves. And I suppose the first wave goes out, which is that the psychosocial kits, into the second wave, which is a little bit more stability around the psychosocial program of Mind Story and the creative spaces that are being set up. And then I suppose the third wave is where you then start to bring in professionals or upskill supportive listening, trauma technique informed, so that you can then provide a good thorough trauma service. And I think one of the things that was really important to me and really difficult, because you want to help, don't you, when we're all impacted by the situation, is to sort of rock up as a Western therapist with this idea that I know everything and infantilize a population who are well versed to war and have endured since 2014 and also have an incredible skill set and masses of resilience. So I think that whatever is done, and I think Good Neighbours are really good at this, it's about mobilizing and supporting local populations to be able to set up their own sustainable projects.
One of the pillars for Good Neighbours is to work with communities locally, and it's never top-down intervention. Is I think Good Neighbours always goes assesses the situation firsthand, but then they try to develop ways to work with the local community, with the local experts, and utilize the local community resources that are already there. There's a certain amount of skills share on the ground, and that you've learned as much from local professionals as they've learned from you in return. So it does sound like there's a lot of positive activity happening on the ground at the moment. And I'd just like to thank you again for being there and for helping us expand our program and deliver it with to really help people on the ground and carers and children and their families. But with that in mind, I'm just going to bring our interview to a close. It was just a very quick snippet into what the situation was like. And thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I've really enjoyed my experience with Good Neighbours.
Well, they've certainly been lucky to have you as well.
Thank you.